Welcome to another episode of the Biography Podcast from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, published by Oxford University Press. Once you've listened to this life of confectioner Forrest Mars, why not visit the dictionary online at www.oxforddnb.com? The Oxford Dictionary of National Biography includes entries on more than 55,000 men and women who've shaped all walks of British life, from the 4th century BC to the 21st century. Forrest Mars, 1904 to 1999, chocolate bar manufacturer. Written by Barbara Trumpeter. Forrest Edward Mars was born in Tacoma, Washington, USA, the only son of Frank C. Mars, a confectionery maker, and his first wife, Ethel Kissack, whom he had married in 1902. Following his parents' divorce in 1910, Forrest Mars was sent to live with his maternal grandparents in Saskatchewan and knew his father only as that miserable failure, with three business defeats under his belt. Frank Mars's reputation as a loser was pressed upon Forrest, and he was urged to improve on his father's efforts. At Lethbridge High School in Alberta, he proved an industrious pupil, and while the majority of his classmates were being recruited by local mining and timber companies, he remained there until graduation in 1922, when he was awarded a partial scholarship to study mining engineering at the University of California at Berkeley. While at Berkeley, Mars discovered his entrepreneurial muscle. By 1923, he was regularly making $100 a week by renegotiating wholesale meat prices for the campus kitchens, and that summer he joined a sales force for Camel Cigarettes, plastering their posters all over Chicago's State Street. His unorthodox sales pitch made the city news, but also landed him in jail. His father, Frank, no longer a failure but now president of the Morrow Bar Company, learned of his son's scrape and went to bail him out. Although the two men had last been in contact when Forrest was 6 years old, within a short time, Forrest had changed the future course of his father's business by giving him the idea of putting a chocolate malted drink into a chocolate bar. This new confection, the Milky Way, was to blaze a trail for Mars as first-year sales approached $800,000. Although Forrest Mars returned to Berkeley after the summer break of 1924, by the following year he transferred to Yale University to study commerce. There he read all he could on corporate wire pulling, so that by the time he graduated in 1928, he felt ready to enter the world of business. After Yale, Mars joined his father's Chicago-based company, renamed Mars Incorporated. Yet by 1932, father and son were at odds over the future direction of the company. Frank Mars found his son's shop floor tirades and his endless needling to simplify the production process increasingly objectionable, and decided to send him packing with $50,000 and the foreign rights to Milky Way. In 1933, following a year learning the chocolate business in Switzerland, Mars moved to England, where he set up shop in a one-roomed, unheated flat in Slough, Buckinghamshire, with his wife, Audrey, and baby son, Forrest Jr. It was from here that Forrest invented the Mars Bar, a sweeter version of the Milky Way. By 1934, the Mars Bar had been successfully launched, and Forrest was on course to create the foundations of a private empire which eventually would generate an annual global revenue of $20 billion, from brands ranging from Mars Confectionery to Uncle Ben's Rice, and a pet food empire accounting for nearly half of total company sales. Although 1939 saw Mars Confectionery as the third-ranking confectionery maker in Britain, after Cadbury and Roundtree, Mars returned to the USA in protest at being expected to pay the tax levied on resident aliens for the war effort. Frank Mars had died in 1934, and the Chicago operation was being run by Forrest's stepmother and her brother, neither of whom cared for his services. It would be another 25 years of fierce boardroom battles before Forrest Mars finally was able to gain complete control of Mars Incorporated, but it was also a period that witnessed the introduction of America's favourite candy, M&M's, named after Bruce Murray, son of the president of the Hershey Corporation, and Forrest Mars. The sugar-shelled sweets, immortalised in the 1954 slogan, "The milk chocolate that melts in your mouth, not in your hand," first came off the production line at the M&M plant in Newark, New Jersey, in 1940. However, Forrest Marr's interest in the Hershey partnership extended only as far as the supply of the chocolate centres for the new candies. His insufferable demands and razor tongue saw to it that business could not function with two heads, and within a decade, Marr's had severed Hershey's connection. It was the last time the company was to rely on any outsider for its production needs. In 1964, when Forrest Marr's finally acquired the last 20% of the company, he lost no time in flattening out the entire structure of the business. No longer were there company perks and pecking orders. Instead, all employees became associates. All offices were open. Every desk was the same size. Importantly, there were only 6 pay levels throughout the entire organization, permitting easy movement of personnel. In addition, the company's wages were generally 3 times higher than those of their rivals, attracting top-rate executives. Yet the corporation was closed to outsiders. Marr's refused to speak to the press, join any trade organization, or participate at conferences. And by keeping the company in private hands, he ensured that those conditions were maintained. By the time he handed over the business to his 3 children in 1973, his obsessional control over its products and its workforce, together with the public humiliation of those who failed to act according to the book, had become legendary. After his wife's death in 1989, he lived with his companion, Janet, a former Marr's secretary, until his death in Miami on the 1st of July, 1999. If you enjoyed this life of Forrest Marr's, why not visit the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography online at www.oxforddnb.com and learn about other people from the past. As well as more podcasts, you'll find biographies of thousands of interesting people who've shaped every aspect of British history.